Hello and welcome to Chapter 12, the final chapter on Test 3. Now, Chapter 12 is a little different from those we've done before. Chapter 12 is, in a big sense, more important than some of what we've already looked at. I really expect you to try hard to understand Chapter 12. The terms may or may not be more difficult to you, but the concept is something you should certainly master. This whole idea of marketing channel, and understand the distinction between that and a marketing system and a vertical marketing system. So with that in mind, we'll probably go through this chapter in a little more detail. The example in Section 1 is the caterpillar. I would only encourage you to read that. Section 2 covers the concept of supply chain. Supply chain is really another way of saying marketing channel, so I don't want to confuse the issue here, so I would encourage you to read that as well. But I do want to start in detail with Section 3. The first topic is where we look at the first couple of terms from our list, marketing channel versus marketing system. Now, you really have to stop for a minute and try to forget that you're just preparing for a test. You want to understand these concepts. So I want you to imagine the way products are distributed in the United States. Who is involved in making and selling these products? Most typically, we think of it as a three-level process. There's a manufacturer, there's a wholesaler that distributes the product, and there's a retailer that sells the product to the end users, and there's, of course, the end user. So when we define marketing channel as all those companies involved in doing that, in moving the goods from the manufacturer to the consumer. Now, who would that involve? It would certainly involve the manufacturer, a wholesaler if there is one, a retailer if there is one, and the consumer. So it's those companies. Are there other companies involved? There certainly are. There are insurance companies, shipping companies, lots of other companies, agents and brokers that are involved in the process, but the primary ones that actually own the goods at one time or another we've just named, and they're called a marketing channel. Now, looking at those members is one thing, but understanding how they're related to one another, what kind of business arrangements they have, be that contracts, tradition, whether they're locked into one another or whether they're selling competing products, when we start to add the concept of the relationship to those companies, now we call it a marketing system. So to back up, a marketing channel is the companies that move goods from the producer to the consumer. And the marketing system is those companies that do that and their relationships. Now, anytime you have a marketing channel, which means anytime you're manufacturing or selling goods, there are a number of functions that have to be performed. Note these eight in Section 3, and you will be asked to name those eight. This is a very standardized list. It would rank pretty high on the major issues in the whole course, so you do have to know these. If you look at this list, you'll find it's pretty rhythmic. There are a couple of pairs, a couple more pairs, then transporting, then the final three, information gathering, risk-taking, and financing. So you will have to know these eight. Be prepared to do just that. Now, when I'm looking at channels and try to understand them, there are three measurements I can make of them. This helps me to recognize the differences between different types of marketing channels. Those three dimensions, as we'll call them, are length, width, and control. Now, they aren't terms, but to fully understand this concept, you should understand what we mean. I told you a minute ago that a typical marketing channel would consist of a manufacturer, a wholesaler, and a retailer. Well, suppose the manufacturer, in the case of some product we were looking at, sold their products directly to a retailer, not through a wholesaler. The length of that channel would be different now. We would call it a shorter channel. In some cases, there may be several levels of wholesaler, a national wholesaler, a regional wholesaler, a state-level wholesaler, or a local wholesaler helping to distribute the products. That would be a longer channel. Channel width, looked at another way, is just how wide the channel is. Some products try to be sold in as many outlets as possible. Think cigarettes, soft drinks. They want them in vending machines. They want them in every possible store, service stations, everywhere they can get them. So they have a very wide marketing channel. Other types of products, think Ford automobiles, they're very narrow. They have only a certain outlet in, at best, each town or each city. So they're very narrow channels. So width helps us tell the difference between channels. And finally, control, which is really a lead-in to the later topic of vertical marketing system. But who controls, who makes the decisions in the channel? Sometimes that's the manufacturer, as in the case of automobile companies or automobile industry. The manufacturer is usually the dominant force. In the case of a lot of consumer goods, sporting goods, toys, those kind of things, it's often the retailer. Think Walmart. Walmart is really the dominant or the controlling member of many of their channels. The next topic, the final topic in Section 3, along with those two questions that you must know, is direct channel versus indirect channel. If I have a very short channel where the manufacturer is selling direct to the consumers, as Dell does, Dell Computers, we call that a direct channel. If there are other members in between, such as wholesalers or retailers, such as Wilson Sporting Goods selling to Walmart, who's selling the basketballs to you, we call it an indirect channel. So if the manufacturer sells directly to the retailer, we call it a direct channel, or to the customer, I'm sorry, we call it a direct channel. And that gets us to vertical marketing system in Section 4. Now, a marketing channel, we said, was the firms that move goods from the producer to the consumer. A marketing system is those firms and their relationship. A vertical marketing system is those firms and their relationship when one of them controls the channel. So if one of them controls it, and often one will, we call it a vertical marketing system. There are three types of vertical marketing systems. That is the third question you're expected to know. They're all terms, so it should be easy, but you will have to name those three. They're corporate, contractual, and administered. The difference in those is how they're controlled. In a corporate vertical marketing system, one member controls the others because they own them. They're all part of the same corporation. That's the case where a retailer may own their wholesalers, their distributors, as Walmart does. They own their distribution facilities. Another is contractual, as in the case of the automobile manufacturers. They don't really own the dealerships, but they have a contract with them. So they control them by virtue of that contract, some legal arrangement. And finally, there's the case of administered. Sometimes a company in a marketing channel, often the manufacturer, sometimes the retailer, as in the case of Walmart, will control the channel simply because they can, because they have the marketing power to do it. So we call those administered. So how are marketing channels controlled? Either by ownership, which we call corporate, by a legal agreement, which we call contractual, or because they have the marketing power to do so, and we call that administered. What is a horizontal marketing system? Excuse me, just what it would appear to be. It is a effort by members at the same level of one or more marketing channels. Think of all the retailers in a shopping center working together to advertise or have their whole shopping center do better. They're trying to have a horizontal marketing system as opposed to a vertical up and down from the manufacturer to the retailer. If several work together at the same level, like multiple retailers, multiple wholesalers, multiple manufacturers, egg producers do this, milk producers, you know, they advertise, work together jointly. We call that a horizontal marketing system. Down in Section 5, there's some measurements of channel width, intensive, exclusive, and selective. These should be pretty easy. Look at these in the book, but they measure how wide the channel is, really. Intensive means it's very wide. They have it in as many outlets as possible. Think Coca-Cola. Exclusive is just the opposite. There's only a certain dealer in each area allowed to sell the product. Selective means they allow more than one, but only certain ones. Maybe only high-end retailers. Imagine some of the high-end clothing items sold only in Belk's and Penny's or those kinds of places. Okay, moving along to Section 7. We start to think about some of the laws involved, exclusive dealing, territorial restrictions, tying agreements. You should be able to read these from the book fairly easy. I don't think you'll find those to be a problem, but just to talk about them briefly. Exclusive dealing is considered illegal, but it's telling a retailer or a seller they can only carry your products. They can't carry your competitor's products. They must exclusively deal with you. Excuse me. The territorial restrictions are where we tell our resellers, our wholesalers, or our retailers that they can't sell outside of their territory. We might tell our Ford dealer in Florence, you can't sell cars to people from Sumter. They don't do that, but if they did, that would be territorial restrictions. And finally, the tying agreement, again, is something illegal, where we require a retailer to carry our entire product line. Wilson Sporting Goods may say, you want to buy our basketballs? Then you grab stock our tennis rackets, our baseball gloves, our footballs, our hockey equipment. And you might say, well, no one buys hockey equipment here. And Wilson may say, well, we won't sell you our basketballs. You have to carry our whole product line, or at least these items. We tie our products together. That's illegal, and it's called tying agreements. And I believe we're pretty well covered. Let me scan just a minute. Supply chain management is trying to exercise some control, trying to manage the other members of your marketing channel. With that, I'm pretty sure you're in good shape. Good luck on this test, and someone give me some feedback and let me know if these audio topics help or if it's just a waste of time for you and me. Thank you very much.